There you go. Fell off in the excitement. But y'all heard what I said, didn't you? Jesus didn't have no microphone. They heard him. But praise God. The reason that we do mic our sermons is because of, recording and people that's listening to it online or whatever. But anyway, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, it blesses me when Sister Priest, you know, she has a memory like a bear trap. You know, a bear trap will grab a hold of you and won't let you go. You know, and that blesses me that she has that type of memory. You know, and I've been praying for God to give me, you know, if I can just get a fraction of what she has, I'll be okay. I'd be great. But I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for her. And you know what? We all need to remember Bible scriptures. We all need to do it. We need to teach our children Bible scriptures so they can remember them also. And we're going to be redoing some of our stuff with our Sunday school, where we're going to be having our Sunday school teachers have our children remember Bible verses and other things also. Because that will bring you all the way through. You know, I remember the first Bible verse that I remembered when I was a kid. I still remember today. Y'all want to hear it? Jesus wept. Praise the Lord. I still remember that. But anyway, but God is so good. But for those of you who are your first time here, thank you. We want to welcome you here. We're the First Baptist Church, the Lighthouse on the Square, the Whosoever Church. And what that means is whosoever you are, you're welcome here. Peach, I was going to call you Peaches. Pickle, good to see you. This is your second week, right? One more, you get a cookie. All right. Sister, one more, you get a cookie. This is your second week, right? Huh? One more, you get a cookie. So you get a cookie and you get a cookie. All right. Praise the Lord. Anybody who comes 3 weeks in a row, you get a cookie. But praise the Lord. But anyway, we want to welcome you here at the Lighthouse on the Square, to Whosoever Church. Once again, whosoever you are, you're welcome, regardless of your past, regardless of even what you're doing now. Good to see you, my friend. It's been a long time. It's good to see you. God bless you. But anyway, we are a God-fearing church, and what I mean by that is we reverence God. We don't play with him. We adore him, and he is the awesome God. You know, I know that word awesome is used in a lot of different places with a lot of different people, but you know, we only use the word awesome when with the name of God, because he's the only one that's awesome. He is an awesome God. Chris, thank you for that, for doing that special, that awesome God. That's a wonderful thing. So let us pray. I'm going to ask you to take a posture of reverence with us as we go to the throne of God. There'd be no talking, no moving around, not on your phones. Or if you got to get up for emergency, we understand that. But if not, I'm going to ask you to take a posture of reverence with me. Father, I come before you today, give me honor, glory, and praise. I want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up another day. Lord, not only did you wake us up for those who are in Christ, you woke us up in the right mind. For those who have surrendered our lives, oh, Father God, and have made you our Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father God, for the clothes that we have on our backs. We thank you for the food that we've eaten. We thank you for the roof that we have over our heads. We thank you, Father God, for provision that we can supply this church and maintain this church, oh Lord. Lord, we pray, Father God, for the universal church, that we will stand for righteousness and holiness, that we will not bring the world into the church, but we would take the church into the world and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and not be ashamed of the gospel. Lord, I pray for our family members and loved ones who don't know you yet, oh Father God. But just like you did each and every one of us who are in Christ, we ask that you would do that to them. You are no respecter of persons, that you would bring them out of darkness into your marvelous light, and that they will serve you all the days of their life. Lord, I pray for those who are traveling this morning, traveling mercy by land, by air, and by sea. I pray for the nation of Israel, peace and protection, oh Father God, and this nation in Haiti and Africa. Lord, I pray, Father God, for those missionaries who are still captive in Haiti, that you will set them free and bring them home, each and every one of them, oh Father God, unhurt. And Lord, I pray for those who are holding them captive. We ask, oh Father, that you will move upon their hearts. I pray for the homeless and the hungry today, that you provide for them, the helpless, hopeless and hurting, that you will be with them. Those who are contemplating suicide, especially our soldiers. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you intervene and stop them. Let them know that they're loved, they're valued, and that they have purpose. Lord, I pray for those who are grieving the death of a family member or loved one, that you would comfort them this day. And Lord, I pray that there be no distractions, that your word would come forth in power and in spirit. Oh, Father God, get me out of the way. Give us ears to hear what you have to say to us today. Let us not walk out of here the way we walked in. Lord, I pray that you prepare the hearts of those who are here today that have not surrendered their lives to you. Oh, Father God, that today will be the day that they will accept the call for eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Children's Church, thank you, thank you, thank you. Children's Church, we got any kids that's going to church today? All right. 1 Samuel and 15 and 1. When you get to say amen. A couple more amens. All right. Samuel also said unto Saul. Samuel was a prophet. He was the man of God. Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people. Notice it said over his people. Not the king's people. Over God's people. And it says, over Israel now, therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Hear the verse of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Amalek was king of the Amalekites. And what they did was they were a coward people. They were a very barbarous people. And when Moses brought the people out of the land of Egypt, out of 400 years of bondage, the old and the sick and the weak were in the back. You know, it was over 2 million people that came out. And so the older, the sick and the weak would lag behind because they kept up, but they were in the back. And so the Amalekites, they would wait till all of the people who got past them, all the strong men, the men, you know what I mean, who protect, and they would attack from the rear. They would attack from the rear. All of the weak, the elderly, and those who could not defend themselves. And they did this over and over and over again. And so God says, all right, I remember that. God will remember, you know, our sins and trespasses. He said, now that you're king, he says, this is what I want to tell you. He says, Amalek, the king there, he says, now, verse 3, now go and smite Amalek and other destroy all that they have. He says, because of them, the enemy of my people, because of what they did, he says, now I want you to go destroy my people. You know, we can get away with stuff for so long. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, he will reap. Do you know that? Whatsoever you do will come back. So this has been a long time since Amalek has done it. These Amalekites have done this. But God has never forgotten it. He said, now is your due for you to get justice for what you've done in the past. And he says, go and smite Amalek, utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. Spare them not. But slay both man and women. Uh-oh. Infants and sucklings. Well, wait a minute, God. You're supposed to be a good, loving God. You know, these women and the children, and he didn't even stop there. He says, ox and the sheep and the camels and the ass. He said, I want you to go and destroy not only them, but I want you to destroy the wives and the mothers and the babies too. And not only that, everything that they possess, anything that they own, all of their property, destroy it all. Now, I know some of y'all are saying, well, what kind of God is that? That's going to have these men destroy women and children. And little babies. That's not a God of love, but he's the God of justice. He's a holy God. Let me ask you this here, because, you know, I used to have a problem with this scripture here back when I was a new Christian, because I didn't answer, why would God have them kill these children and these women? Let me tell you something. Has anybody ever had roaches? Cockroaches. Anybody know about cockroaches? What about bed bugs? Huh? What about bed bugs? For those of you who hadn't had them, you know about them, right? Or what about rat and mice? Anybody ever had rat and mice? All right. All right. When I was a kid, I grew up with all that. Matter of fact, I used to name Niangles. Oh, my God. We had so many of them. But anyway, let me ask you this. When the exterminator man come over and you say, just kill the men, roaches. Don't kill the women roaches. Don't kill the baby roaches. Just kill the men roaches. What do you tell them? Kill them all. Because why? Because the baby roaches grow up to be big roaches. And the women roaches, they give birth to the baby roaches. So they were roaches. So this is what God says. Because of the iniquity and the sin that they have, I want you to destroy all of them. Because they are an enemy to my people. Remember it says his people? They are an enemy to my people, my chosen people, the ones who I love. So therefore, I want you to destroy all of them and everything. I want you to wipe them off the face of the earth. Why? So they will not come back to kill us and destroy us and do the things that they had done in the past. I need you to remember that now. So here we are. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. He masses this, all of these warriors, these armies. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and he laid wait in the valley. He waited for him. He had all these men, these warriors. Because God told him to do what? Let's read that again. Let's read that again. It says, now and go smite, which means kill, Amalek, and utterly, not just destroy him, but utterly, completely destroy them all. Utterly. That's what God told him, right? Y'all read it, right? Saul said, okay. He got all his men together, got his army together. And they went and they laid in the valley and they waited for the enemy of God's people. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart ye from down among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. He said, let me tell you something. Because of your kindness, when they came out of Egypt, you treated them good. So because of what you did for God's people, I want you to separate yourself from them, because we're getting ready to come in here and we're getting ready to destroy all of them. And we don't want to hurt or kill any of you because you have been kind to God's people. Remember what God said? He says, Israel, he said, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. The Kenites blessed Israel. So therefore, they're getting ready to go and have war. So he says, I want y'all to leave because you sowed a good seed when the Israelis came out of the Egypt. So therefore, you know, this is not going to happen to you. So then, and it says, what did it say? So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. They believed him. They knew that he meant business. And Saul smote the Amalekites. Okay, he did what he said. He told him to destroy them, right? So Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. Okay, so God told him to utterly destroy him. So we see that he is in battle with them, and he says that he smote them from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against it. And he took Agag, the king. And he took Agag, the king. What did God tell him to do? Why did he take him? I'm glad you asked me. Come and tell you. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But if you really go into this, there were some that got away, just a very few of them that got away, that they did not pursue. God told him to utterly destroy all of them. The men, women, babies, and all that they had, all of their animals, all their possessions, destroyed all. But Saul said the people spared Agag. Now, he's blaming it on the people. He's the king. He's in charge of everybody. He's the king. But he says, but Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatling and the lambs were not utterly destroyed them, but everything that was vile and refuge that they destroyed utterly. Everything they destroyed utterly except the stuff that they wanted. They kept things that they thought was valuable, that they wanted. But God says, kill everything, whether you want it or not. It's hard to kill something that you want, isn't it? I say this all the time. It's hard to kill something that you love, isn't it? Oh, but who is the one who killed something that he loved the most? It was God. It was God. Loved his son more than anything else. But because of us, he loved us more. Do you understand that? Do you really get it? How much he loved his son, Jesus Christ, but he loved us more because he sacrificed his son for you and I. You hear what I'm saying? Remember that. If you're taking notes, write that down in big letters. And then it says, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel saying, okay, God says, man of God, my prophet, my mouthpiece, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. He says, I am so sorry that I had you anoint him to be king. Well, wait a minute. Saul killed the vile things and the things that was evil. He killed all of that. You know, what he did was he kept the best sheep, the best lambs, the best, you know, all that type of stuff. He kept all the best of that. And he kept the king. And he kept the king. And it says, I don't need no help preaching. Thank you. All right. It repented me that I have set up the Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. He has turned back. Well, wait a minute. Back here, it said he killed just about everybody except the king, the few that got away, and the best sheep, the best camels, all the best things. It repented me that I have made set up king, but he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night long. He says, the king who I had put in place, he said, I'm sorry that I even did it because he did not follow my instructions. But wait a minute. It says up here, and Samuel smote the Amalekites. Isn't that what it said? But he didn't do it all. He didn't do everything God told him to do. He half stepped. He did some of it, but he didn't do all of it. He did some of what God told him to do, but he didn't do what all. But you would think God is gracious and merciful. So, okay, well, you know, thank you for doing what you did do. I appreciate what you did do. Let's see what God says. He repented him. you know, to that he made him the king. And it says, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried all night long. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place, is gone about, and passed on and gone down to Gilgad. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in my ears? What am I hearing, Saul? What is this I'm hearing? I'm hearing something that I shouldn't be hearing, because everything that's dead don't make no noise. You hear what I'm saying? Everything that's dead don't make no noise, but I'm hearing something here. So something ain't right. Something is out of order here. And it says that he heard the bleating of the sheep. Lord, I lost my place. Okay, thank you. And Samuel said, no. And Samuel rose, came into Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. I've done what you told me that God told me to do. And Samuel said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. I've done everything you told me to do, but just a little bit. The people. Here we go back with the people again. But yet you're the king. If you're the king, you have subjects, and the subjects do and obey what you tell them to do. So somewhere, there has been some disobedience. And since Saul is the king, it falls on him. And so listen to what it says. And once again, it don't say this, but with Saul being the king, they would not do anything without his permission. You hear what I'm saying? They would do nothing without the king's permission. And so anyway, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee to be king? When you was nothing, even in your own sight, did not God show you favor? Did not God promote you? Did not God call you and anoint you and put you in place to be the king over his chosen people? Didn't he do that, Saul? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners. To go and utterly destroy the sinners. He didn't use the Amalekites. He used the word sinners. The Amalekites, and fought against them until they were consumed. Therefore, then, doest thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Didn't God tell you to do that? Didn't God put you in a position when you was nothing? Didn't he promote you to be king over his chosen people? He gave you a commandment to do, and you did part of it. You did part of it. You would think that he would get a little something, that a boy, for doing part of it. Let me tell you something. God don't add a boy you or add a girl you for not doing everything he's called you to do. You see. I'm going to get to this in a minute. Y'all quiet now. Y'all going to be real quiet in a minute. He says, but the people took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, and the chief of the things that should have been utterly destroyed, sacrificed unto the Lord thy God. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. he says, to obey is better than your sacrifices. You said that you was going to keep all of these possessions to sacrifice to the Lord. He don't want your sacrifices. He wants your obedience. We say, he said he loved the Lord. He said, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. You'll obey me. If you truly love me, that is how you can tell if you truly love the Lord. Now, let me stop you here now, because I know some of y'all saying, now, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all do. We all do. But when we do sin, and when we don't follow God's directions completely, we can go to Jesus. We can go to Jesus. Jesus, I messed up again. I didn't do what God told me to do. Oh, I did part of it. So, Lord, I'm confessing to you that I didn't obey the voice of the Lord this time, and I'm asking you to forgive me and let me go back and do what God has called me to do. Now, we in the New Testament, we in the New Covenant, how good is that? That's part of what God did when he sacrificed his son so we can be where we at today. Mercy and grace and forgiveness. Mercy and grace and forgiveness. But see, Jesus hadn't come in 1 Samuel. See, Jesus wasn't there in 1 Samuel. I mean, he was there, but he had not sacrificed his life for us. So now, thank you. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity of idolatry. Let's camp here for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Rebellion, he says, is as the sin of witchcraft. Let's start with the word rebellion. Rebellion means to do it your way instead of God's way. How many of us have children? And we told our children to do something, and they wouldn't did something else. They heard what you told them. Go clean up your room, Junior, Susie. I want to go out and play. I want to do, no, clean up your room before you go play. And then you come around and you open up the door of the room and it's still messy and they ain't done nothing. But they're out there playing. They're out there playing. They heard you tell them to clean up the room. But they said to themselves, I'm going to do what I want to do. I ain't going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, how is that? Is because you have done your will and not the will of the Father. I've done what I want to do and not what you want me to do. You see, and witchcraft is like manipulation, or in other older things, it says divination. Manipulation. See, that's what the witches used to do and still do today, is manipulation. You know, with the familiar spirits and all the different things of that nature there, it's a manipulation. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, when they wanted to do it, and how they wanted. Didn't care what mama and daddy said. Oh, but when they come back in the house. But when they come back in the house, when they get hungry. Mama, you cooking dinner? I'm cooking it for the rest of us. Yeah, I'm cooking. But anyway, here we go. And it says, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now, what is stubbornness? Have you ever heard the term, you're as stubborn as a mule? I don't know nothing about no mules. I don't even know if, yeah, I've seen some mules. Yeah, I have. But I ain't touch them. I ain't all up on them. You know. I'll look at them from a distance, but I ain't messing with them. But anyway, I was told if a mule don't want to walk, he won't walk. He will just, he will brace his legs and you can pull him and do and holler at him and anything else, and he'll just stand there. Or they'll just lay down. Say, I ain't doing nothing. I'm going to do what I want to do again. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to have you put that thing on my back and have me carry all this stuff. I'm going to stand right here and I'm going to do what I want to do and not what you want me to do. I know you my master, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Do we have anybody in here that know anybody that's stubborn? Oh, heads are going down. Lord have mercy. You got you putting your hands are going up. Praise the Lord. You know, at least you're honest with it. At least you're honest with it. Praise the Lord. So anyway, stubborn is idolatry. You know, rebellion is that witchcraft. And we've all been rebellious at one time or another, haven't we? We know that God has told us to do something or not to do it, and we did it anyway, or didn't do it. Why? Because that's what you wanted to do. That's what you wanted to do. Not what God wanted us to do. Now notice I said us, because I'm in that group too. Not what, you know, we're not doing what God told us to do, but we're doing it what we want to do. What's the old song Frank Sinatra used to sing? I did it my way. I did it my way. Mm-hmm. And how'd that turn out for you? How'd that turn out for you doing it your way? You know, I used to back in the day, BC, before Christ, I used to do it my way. And I would end up in the same predicament every time doing it my way. And you would think after one or two times, I would get it. But I think I got a plate of something up in here. I don't know. Because it's really hard, and I don't get the information in me to do what I'm supposed to be doing BC, before Christ, and then after Christ too. So once again, I was hard-headed, and I wanted to do it my way. But I ended up in the same predicament over and over. And then I would get mad. Why am I doing this? Why are you mean to me? You know what I mean? Why are you doing this to me? Because you're doing the same dumb stuff over and over and over again. And we all know the definition of insanity. Don't we, Jay? Yes. Mm-hmm. Your wife do too. Dennis. Good to see you. 2 weeks in a row. One more, you get a cookie. Dennis has been trying to get a cookie for 10 years here. One more. Mary, get him here one more week. Get that cookie. But anyway, you know that want to do what I want to do, that rebellion, that want to do it my way. Want to do it my way. And then here we go, verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have sinned. He didn't say, I only did part of it. I did part of it. He said, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Here he is blaming it back on the people again. I have sinned because the people made me do it. Y'all remember Flip Wilson? What Flip Wilson you say all the time? The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Yes. Oh, and how many of us have said that in the past? The devil made me do it. No. You did it because that's what you wanted to do. That's what you did. You did it because that's what you wanted to do. Ain't nobody made you do it but yourself. And he says now, verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again unto me, that I may worship the Lord. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, forgive me of my sin. Now that's a wonderful thing, to ask for forgiveness. If he didn't have that first part of prayer, the people made me do it. You see, that excuse I sinned because the people made me do it, instead of taking responsibility that he did it. That's one thing I love about King David. King David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He lied. He did all kinds of different things. But God said, he's a man after my own heart. Because when King David messed up, he manned up. I did it, Lord. I'm not blaming it on Bathsheba for dancing around naked in front of me on a porch. You know, that's what they think. A lot of them think in Israel because they love King David in Israel. And King David's palace is here, and Uriah's home is right down there, right below it. And King David used to go out on his balcony every evening just to look out. And that what the tradition is there is that that she would come out because she knew the king was there, and she would come out and entice him. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but even if it was true, he shouldn't have been looking at him. Even if it is true that she did tempt him, he should not have been looking at her, and because lust of the eye brought on lust of the flesh. Oh, who is that down there? Oh, that's Uriah's wife. Mm-hmm. Tell her to come here. Bring her to the palace. He didn't care nothing about Uriah, which was one of his soldiers, one of his men that fought the wars for him. Committed man. He didn't care nothing about that because he wanted what he wanted, when he wanted it, and how he wanted it. But this is the thing with King David. King David didn't say that any excuses, I have sinned against the Lord, is what he said. I have sinned. And every time that King David did something, he took responsibility and didn't pass the buck. Because it's easier to pass the buck, isn't it? And it says in verse 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being the king of Israel. Don't miss this. Samuel, the man of God, the mouthpiece of God, the prophet of God, said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. I can't come with you and support you in this here. I can't come just so the people can see that I am with you, that it's okay for what you have done. I got to be separated from you. I can no longer have fellowship with you. It hurts me because I love you. But because of you have done this thing against God, because I serve God, I don't serve you, even though you are the king. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I serve God. So he said, no, I can't come. And Samuel turned about and to go away, and he laid hold upon his shirt and his mantle, and he rent it. He tore his clothes off because he was just outdone. He was through because he loved Saul. He loved King Saul. But because of his transgression, because of his disobedience, because of his sin, the man of God said, I got to come out from among you and be separated from you. I cannot be with you in front of the people to let the people think what you did is okay. Hear me, church. I cannot be with you so the people can see me standing next to you to think what you did was okay. I got to come out from amongst you. That's what he said here. That's what he said here. And it says, and he tore his clothes. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from this day and has given it to the neighbor of thine that better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie or repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And so then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of the people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. And Samuel turned again after Saul and worshiped the Lord. Samuel said, you know, you want to worship. I'm going to be with you to worship, but I'm not going to be with you to let the people see that what I'm giving you a pass on this. I'm not condoning this. I'm not accepting this. But if you want to come worship, you know, I ain't going to turn nobody away who wants to worship. Nobody. Then said Samuel, bring me hither to me Agag. Bring me this king that you should have killed. Bring him here, the king of the Amalekites, the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, this is so good, said it came to him delicately. You know what delicately means? Now, before that, he's king. He's killing. He's killing all the weak people, the elderly people, the people, the sickly people. He's slaughtering them. But now tables have turned, and now he's delicately. And it says that, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Surely the bitterness of death is past. You know, you killed all of my people, all them people, you know, so many of our people. Surely that's enough. You know, spare me. Have mercy on me. Oh, now once again, this is the man of God that told him to bring him here. This is the pastor. Now, and Samuel said, as thy sword has made women children, so shall thy mother be childless among women. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he will reap. Agag killed women and children and elderly people and sickly people. And now it's his turn. He said, your mother's going to be like those mothers that you've killed their children and their families. You reap what you sow. And Samuel hewed. Do you know what that word hewed mean? Agag in pieces. That means he sliced him up. He dismembered him. He dismembered him. Didn't say what he did, but it said he dismembered him into pieces before the Lord in Gilgag. And Samuel went to Ramoth, and Saul went up to his house in Gilgad of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Until the day of his death. And then it says that, nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now, that's Old Testament. And let me tell you what happened. Because Saul didn't kill all of the Amalekites, we go to all the way through for hundreds of years later, and we go to the book of Esther. And we know about Esther, right? Esther was a Jewish lady, and she was beautiful. And the king, he had got rid of his queen because she wouldn't do what he told her to do. He wanted her to dance around in front of his friends and show off herself. You know, she had to be a really, really good looking woman. And she said, no, I'm not going to do that, king. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'm not going to have you do that to me. He says, well, I'm going to tell you what. You're no longer queen. I banish you. You got to leave here. He says, I want you to go get all the beautiful women in the land, the beautiful women, and I'm going to pick me a new queen. And Esther was in that bunch. And he saw Esther, and he says, I don't need to see no more. He said, this one here is the one I want to be my queen. And she was a Jewish woman. And he didn't know that. Didn't care. Didn't care. And so anyway, what happened was Haman was his number one man. He was the general of his army. And Mordecai was Queen Esther's uncle. And when Haman would come out of the palace, or whatever, all the people bowed down to him. They all bowed down and gave him homage. But Mordecai just stood straight up. And Haman hated that. Why are you not bowing down? He says, I don't bow down to nobody but my God. You're just a man. I'm not bowing to nobody. So Haman said, I got to get rid of him. Not rid of him, I'm going to get rid of him. I'm going to get rid of all of his people. So he went to the king and he tricked the king into signing this thing about killing all the Jews. Not knowing that the king's wife was a Jew. Not knowing that. But anyway, he went home and he told his people, and the king wrote the letter, you know what I mean, that all the Jews supposed to be killed. Mordecai heard about it. Her uncle, she said, he told her, he said, let me tell you something. You need to go talk to your husband because they're going to kill all of our people. And not only going to kill all of them, but they're going to kill you too because you are a Jew. You might be fine. You might be the queen, but you are a Jew. And what the king wrote, he cannot take it back. So guess what, Queenie? If you don't go talk to him, you're going to die and everybody in your household too. So she went to the king, you know, not knowing, because if the king did not call you to his court, you know what I mean, and you went and said, I want to see you, king, he cut your head off. But when he saw her standing at the door, and he says, what is it, honey? She said, may I talk to you a little bit? He took his scepter, which is like a cane or a thing, and he put it forward. Come on. What's wrong, honey? What do you need? I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. She says, I want to have a little party. Sugar boo. I don't know if that was her name for him or what, but you know. But anyway, he said, okay. So they made a feast and they had a party. And so they had a party, and she says, I only want you to invite Haman. And Haman's like, yes, yes, yes. You know, I'm the king's right-hand man. Now I'm the queen's right-hand man. So they had the party. And so he says, well, what is it that you want? She says, could we have one tomorrow? I want to have another banquet and another party tomorrow. So, you know, Haman's like, something good about ready to happen to me. I'm getting ready to be an assistant king. You know, something good you're ready to happen to me. Not knowing what was circling above his head. Now, let me tell you something about Haman. Haman was an Agagite. Do you know what an Agagite is? What was the king's name? Agag. He was a descendant. He was a descendant of the people who God told Saul to utterly destroy every one of them. And because Saul was disobedient, here we are hundreds of years later. And here's this man of the descendant of Agag who wants to utterly destroy all the nation of Israel, all of God's chosen people. You see, when we don't get rid of everything in us that is against God, it'll come back. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, might not be next year, but it'll come back because we haven't dealt with it. We haven't killed it. If he had done what God had told him to do, it wouldn't have been none of this. Oh, but God. But God. As the king, you know, he found out what Haman had done. He found out that his wife was a Jew. He said, Lord have mercy. So he said, I need to go walk. I need to go out and get me a little air. I need to think about this here a little bit because, you know, it's my head is just, I can't wrap my head around what's going on right now. And I'm the one who signed that decree. This man tricked me into signing this decree against my own wife, who I love dearly. And so as he went out, Haman saw what was going on and he ran over to the queen. He said, oh, please, please. He's all over. Please, 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 please tell the king, please, please. And the king come back in and he sees this man all over his wife. He says, are you kidding me? Are you serious? You going to be on my wife, in my palace, in my bed, on my couch? Come get him. Come get him. They said they came in, put a hood over his head. They took him out and they hung him on the gallows that he had made for Mordecai. Oh, how good a God we have. See, how good a God we have. This man who was a descendant of the ones who was killing the people of Israel back when they were coming out of Egypt, when they were defenseless. God is not mocked, church. Whatsoever man sow, he will reap. And so anyway, the queen had the king write another decree that the Jewish people could defend themselves and kill anybody that even thought about doing something to them. Okay, I can't take back the decree that I made, you know, for the Jewish people to be killed, but I can make a decree for the Jewish people to defend themselves. I can do that. You know, because my honey bun here, ain't nobody going to lay a hand on her. This is my boo here. Mm-mm. And so after Haman was hung, you would have thought that was the end of it. But then we get down a little further on. And as the people of Israel, they defended themselves. And they killed quite a few of those that was not of the Jewish race. And he says, honey, he says, is there anything else you want of me? She said, yeah. Haman got 10 sons. It's the danger is still present. You see, he has 10 sons. And Haman said, and the king said, go kill all of them. Do what God had said to do hundreds of years ago. Let me say this to you. And we've all done stuff. We all done dirt. You know, we all have. You know, and how many times we said we're not going to do it again? And we might not do it again for a day or two. Maybe a week, month, year, two. The next thing you know, boom, you're right back at that place that you said that I would never be again. I would never do this again. How many have done this? You ain't got to raise your hand. Because everybody should have had their hand up. We all done it. We all done it. But what I'm saying to you is, we have to kill everything in us that's against God. If we truly want to walk in the righteousness and the holiness of God. If you want to be real, a real Christian, you know, people kill me talking about, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but you know, I don't do this and I don't believe that. What does God say a Christian is? A follower of Jesus Christ. Well, I follow him on Sunday. I follow him on Wednesday at the Bible study. I follow him when I want something, when I need something. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Really? Because one day when you stand before Jesus, well, you know, I did pretty good. Lord, Lord, depart from me. I never knew you. Did pretty good. Now I'm going to say this here. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We make wrong choices and bad decisions. We all do it. We all have done it, and we all will do it until Jesus come back. But when we do, we confess it, repent, and do what we're supposed to do. You see, thank God we're living in a new covenant. Thank God. Because let me tell you something. That little sin that will easily beseech you will come back to bite you. Those things in your life that you have not got rid of. And yeah, you can smear stuff over it. You can put on some nice dress and nice clothes and suit and everything. And oh, praise the Lord. God is good all the time. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. You know, preacher, pastor. And be sitting up in there. Full of roaches. Bed bugs. Oh, well, I got rid of the bed bugs in my bedroom. What about your living room? What about your kitchen? What about your bathroom? What about all them other ones? Huh? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I don't know. We all got stuff now. But have you killed the things that are against God? You're lying, you're cheating, gossiping, slander, not getting in the Word of God the way you're supposed to be getting in the Word, to study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of God. Loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Oh, Lord, if y'all could see sometime what I see, because I'm up here, I see all of y'all's faces. Sometimes when I'm preaching, boy, eyes could kill, I'd have been dead a long time ago. Because some of y'all look at me like, if looks could kill, oh my goodness. You know, because I see, and I can see the body language of everybody up in here and all up in there, you know. But I know y'all love me and I love you. And I know everybody don't agree with me and everything, and I don't agree with you and everything. But one thing we do have in common, Jesus Christ, period. Jesus Christ, period. We have that in common, church. But what I'm saying is, the stuff that we have in us that should have been gone, that's still there. You know, no, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give 10% of my money. Mm-mm. No, I'm not. Mm-mm. So pastor can get him a new pair of shoes. Let me tell y'all something. I have nothing to do with the finances here. Nothing. I don't count it. I don't look at it. I don't touch it. I don't do nothing. I keep overhead of what's going on here. But I get a salary. I get a salary every other week. So it's not that what you put in here, I go in there and take it and put it in my pocket. Absolutely not. We have a board. We have people that's in there when the money comes in, and it's three people in there every week that counts the money. Three of them that keep it accountable. So for those of you who think, oh, I'm not giving the money because pastor going to get him some new shoes, and you're not giving it to me anyway. You're giving it as unto the Lord. You're giving it unto the Lord. So I'm saying this here to say this to you. Search yourself today and see if there be any wickedness in you or anything that you have been rebelling against. Some of you, God has a call on your life, but you keep turning your back on it. You keep going this way, going that way, and doing this and that. Some of you have talents and giftings that God has given you. Everybody got a talent. Everybody in here got a gifting. Have you been using it, or have you? Oh, I can't do that. I can't get up in front of people. I can't do that. Do we have any bass players in the house? Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, what I'm saying to you, church, if you have not been doing what God has called you to do, you need to ask for forgiveness, repent, and do it. You need to ask God to forgive you, repent of that, and do it. Whatever God has called you to do. Because there will be a day and a time when we have to stand before Him. And we can't use excuses, just like King Saul couldn't use that excuse. Well, the people made me do it. Just like Adam. Well, the wife that you gave me, Lord, she's the one that made me do it. People only do to you what you allow them to do to you. Do you know that? People only do to you what you allow them to do to you. Well, if what you can do is somebody's following you or whatever, you get the law on them. You get the law on them. Well, try again. Try again. That's what you do. If somebody's doing something to you, get the law on them. Absolutely. or go see Elder Paul. He'll work it out for you. Praise the Lord. Or Brother Al Priest. We got some men up in here. Or Dennis. I think Dennis got a tank over his house. Got a whole arsenal. But anyway, getting back to this thing that we have in us, that we have been disobedient, rebellious, and stubborn. If you feel that the Holy Spirit this morning is putting his finger on you about your anger, your bitterness, your disrespecting people, you judging people, critical spirit, always criticizing somebody. Let me tell you something. If you want to get free of that today, you can. You can. But you have to be real. You have to be real. Little man of God. This is a little man of God right here. Absolutely. He's going to preach the gospel one day. He's going to preach the gospel one day. And his little brother going to be there with him. Yes. So if you're here today and you got stuff going on in you that you know, that you know, that you know, that you've been rebelling, that you've been stubborn, that you've been disobeying God with, come today publicly. Say, Lord, today I need to get this out of me. I need to get this out of me today forever. Kill it today forever. Utterly destroy it. Utterly. Get it out of me, Lord. I don't want to be like this no more. I don't want to live like this no more, Lord. Take it out of me, Lord, by any means necessary. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Amen. Amen, sister. Amen. Truth be known, everybody should be up here. Truth be known. You know. But that's okay. That's all right. So for those of you who are up here, what you're saying today is, I want to be cleansed. I want to be purged of everything that is not of God. Everything that is not of you, Lord, I want you to take it out of me by any means necessary. And Lord, put in me what needs to be, that I will be obedient to you, that I not rebel, that I will not be stubborn when you call me to do things. Put it in me, Lord, by any means necessary, at my expense, at my expense. So I'm going to say, you know exactly what's going on with you. You know exactly what the places that God needs to touch. Y'all know exactly the places that God needs to touch. Whatever it might be, tell God to take it out of you today. Tell him to take it out and Lord, keep it out. Keep it out. Because once again, if you kill something, you ain't got to worry about seeing it tomorrow. It's dead. It's dead. And we all need that. Because we all got stuff going on, church. We all got stuff going on, church. So as I pray this prayer, you ask God to touch that thing that you need to be taken out, whatever it might be. Fear, anxiety, unforgiveness, bitterness, you know, whatever it might be. You know what it is, and God knows what it is too. Father, we come before you today, giving you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to hear your word today. Giving us the opportunity that we can come clean today. Of the things that's in us that is not of you. The rebellious spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus. The disobedience spirit. The spirit of stubbornness. Whatever it might be, oh, Father God, that is not of you. Lord, I don't want to be as the sin of witchcraft, of idolatry. Oh, Lord, you are our God. You are the only true and living God. So this day, Lord, I ask that you take out of me. Take out of me everything that is not of you. Lord, I give you permission to come into me and take out everything that is not of you, Lord. That from this day, I will start walking in righteousness and holiness, in love, patience, long-suffering, controlling my temper, Lord, and loving others, and loving you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving my brother as I love myself, Lord. Lord, this day, I thank you for purging me and taking these things out of me, Lord, that tomorrow or later on today, I will be free of those. Kill it, Lord. Kill it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.